If you'll take your scriptures and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, we'll be reading verses 17 through 33. Ephesians 5, 17 through 33. Would you give ear to the reading of God's word? Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of God is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, so also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of the body, of his body, of his flesh, and his bone. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you, in particular, so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Lord God, this is your word. We know that your word is truth, and that you mean it to be a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. By the grace of your Holy Spirit, we pray that we would understand it. But more than that, we pray that our hearts would be conformed to it, that our lives would be changed by it, that we would begin to live the truth, and that we should show the truth in the way that we live. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Last week, we began talking about submission. We looked at it from the standpoint of it being the duty to every believer to submit to his God, his government, his church, and to one another. This is one of the hardest things for us to do. None of us likes to be in submission to anyone. But this is the call of Christianity. We come before a holy God to acknowledge our sin, our rebellion, and to confess our failure to love and honor him with all of our being. We must humble ourselves and admit that we cannot save ourselves. We must come to him with empty hands and bowed knees. Nothing short of the understanding of our total helplessness before God will do. We must come in total dependence on his grace and on his grace alone. We must come in complete submission to his will. This is indeed a hard teaching. It is hard enough when we are speaking in generalities that apply to everyone else. It gets harder and harder as we make closer and closer application to our own life. Paul began with a very broad statement, verse 21. Submit to one another in the fear of God. If you love Jesus Christ, if you appreciate what he has done for you, then you should show a great deal of respect for everyone else that has acknowledged the same thing in their lives. Now, Paul begins to show how this works in different people's lives. We have come to the point in our relationships in this nation where everyone is so concerned with their rights until responsibility has become a nasty word. Do you understand? The scripture does not talk about the rights of men. It deals with their responsibility to God and then to one another. The first one Paul brings to light as he begins this section is the responsibility of wives. Some people have said Paul was a woman hater. that he saw women as second-class citizens, and thus they write off his commands on the subject as being prejudicial. Let me assure you, as we begin this study, this is absolutely not true. Paul has a great love and appreciation for the weaker sex. He saw them as a provision from God as helpmates. He honored and respected them in every sense of the word. He commanded men to treat them with great respect. Many women worked with Paul in his missionary efforts, and he honors them as great saints at the end of a number of his letters. One thing I would like you to always remember is that women had never been treated with honor and respect before Christ. He made it clear this is how they were to be treated. It was the spread of the Christian faith that freed women from the role of slave and gave them a place of dignity in society. The feminist movement today is making a terrible mistake. This mistake is pushing for the equality of women in every area of life. Why I say this is a mistake is because in the Christian thought, it will bring her down, not up. Once equality is established, the law of the strong ruling the weak will be reapplied, and women will once again come under slavery. Let us examine this under the guidance of God's word. Our text is verses 22 through 24. First, we shall study the duty Paul lays down for the wife. Second, we will look at the reason he institutes this duty. And last, we shall uncover the example he gives as to why this should be. Paul does not beat around the bush. He's not one of those guys that comes at anything but straightforward. He comes on very strong, very clear. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. As we begin this, you should remember marriage was the first institution ordained by God. No institution on earth can claim a more sacred place than family. There is none more basic. As goes the moral and religious status of the family, so goes society in general. The relationship between husband and wife is the glue that holds all societies together. When marriages fail, families fail. When families fail, societies crumble, and anarchy takes over. We're seeing that today. You don't have to look far. The reason for that is found in one little word, the word order. Order for a society begins at home. God created man and placed him in charge of all of his creation. After Adam had named all the animals, it was found that there were no suitable mate for Adam. So God took one of his ribs and made him a mate. The name he given his mate was Ishah, which was derived from the man's name, Ish. The woman was taken out of man. So she was created for a very special and a very great purpose. She was created to help complete him and to stand alongside of him in the journey God called him to. This does not make the woman a second-class citizen in any way. She was as much a part of the plan as was man. She holds equality as important or equally as important a role in life as does man. It takes two, man and woman, to make a family. This was all a part of God's plan that the two would come together to make a complete unit. It is extremely hard to have a viable, growing family without both. Paul points out that both are equal in their standing before God. Listen to Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. The standing of woman before God is the same as that of man. We are all sinners. Those saved, be they men or women, are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. the thing that makes this so hard for many is a preconceived idea that order equates to worth. The world believes the more important someone's position, the more worth they have. Therefore, when Scripture calls the wife to submit to her husband, it's automatically thought she has less value than him. This is not true. In fact, it is really upside down to Christ's teaching. Listen to Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28. Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now Jesus explains that Gentiles see those in authority over them as more worthy. And because of this, they lord it over those under them. In third world countries, women are treated terribly because men are seen as the only one with any worth. In many societies, a woman is but chattel. Look at how women are in the caravans trying to cross over into the nation, the United States, are treated. Many of them are enslaved. They're sold into slavery of the worst kind. They certainly are not treated with honor. Jesus says this is not the way it is in Christianity. He says the person that has the position of authority has to become the servant of those he rules. He also says those who are given preeminence in a relationship become slaves to those under them. This was and is an extremely radical teaching. When we apply this to Paul's command for women to submit to their husbands, it comes out this way. Wives, submit to your own husbands so they can serve, provide, and protect you. Honor them because they dedicate their lives to your well-being and protection. It is precisely this idea that lifted women from the status of chattel to a position of honor and respect in the human race. The idea of submission is not a terrible mistake by God. It's a blessing to his creation. 1 Peter 2, 13 through 18. "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, are to the governors as to those who were sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh." He continues this thought in 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2. "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not believe the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." This is not what the marriage counselors of our day will tell you. Peter is saying that we have to all submit unto the authorities placed over us. He even tells slaves to submit to their masters, even those masters who treat them harshly. He continues this and says to wives, it's the same with you. You must submit to your own husband, even if he is cruel, and use this as an opportunity to show him the love of Jesus Christ through your submission. Young ladies, I tell you this. This is one of the reasons why Scripture counsels you to marry only a believer. It is only the man who believes and trusts in Jesus Christ that can understand the proper way in which to serve his wife. And young men, it is only the woman who knows Christ as her Savior that can properly submit to you as her husband. Now you need to understand, this call to submission for wives is submission to your own husband. And it is submission in the same vein as you are called to submit to the Lord. Therefore, if your husband asks you to do something contrary to God's law, you must respectfully say no. If he says you can't go to church, you have to respectfully tell him, God has called me to worship and I must go. As a believer, you must obey God rather than men. Yet, you must respect the order God has established. He has not said women are inferior to men. He said he wants men to shoulder the greater responsibility in the family. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. That's a direct command from Scripture. Any woman who believes and trusts in Jesus Christ must take this command to heart and fulfill it to the best of her ability. Now, there's a reason for this command. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. This comes back to the order of things. God has established through the order of creation, the man is the head of the home. The husband is the head. He is the one given the responsibility to provide for the care and protection of his family. The scripture never shows the one given authority as more valuable than those he is over. Duty in the Bible makes the person with it stand to a stronger standard. James 3:1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Everyone given authority is judged more sternly. One point that needs to be made is that we are all called to be in submission to someone. There is no one that is not under the authority of someone. The scripture says, submit unto one another as it is something that all people, men and women, have to learn. We all have to learn how to submit. It's not in our nature to do it. Submission is not a dirty word, and you should not look at it that way. You are called to submit and to submit unto God. If you don't submit to God, then you're in submission to Satan. You can't escape it. It's just a fact of life. Women, while called to submit to the head of the family, father or husband, also are called to a position of authority over the children of the home. It is women that were given the privilege of bringing children into this world, and it is the mother that nurses and cares for the child and teaches him much of what he learns. Believe me when I tell you, she is being held to a very high standard and will be judged according to how well she carries out this duty. This call to submission before her husband is not to put a put down. It is an offer of grace and mercy that removes from her some of the terrible load of life. In marriage, she is free from the guilt of childbirth. Her husband gives her cover and protection from guilt. Paul makes a comparison with Christ as head of the church and as Savior. The husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. As head and Savior of the church, Christ offers grace. He came to do for his people what they could never do for themselves. He lived the perfect life, died the atoning death, and won the resurrection victory over the forces of evil. If you will submit to him, you will be relieved of this work necessary for your salvation. You will be free to do the work you were created to do, be a witness of God. The husband is called to provide for his family, his wife, so she can have the children and teach them. Please, this doesn't mean wives sit at home and do nothing. Have you never read Proverbs 31? You will find in that passage, wives in Scripture were pretty busy. She is busy buying the material to make the clothes that keep her family warm in the winter. She buys the food and oversees its preparation. She watches over all the affairs of her household. She is never idle, and her children are called or blessed, and her husband honors her. Why do they all call her blessed and honor her? Because she makes things work. She is an indispensable part of the family. Please, ladies, understand this. There's nothing second class about fulfilling the role God created you to fill. This is a very important role. The whole family of the human race rides on how well you carry out the duties given you. You were created to fulfill your husband, to make him whole. How do you do that? by becoming in submission to Him, giving yourself to Him. In both a physical way and emotional manner, as well as in a spiritual sense. You give yourself that children may be born. You give yourself that they may be nurtured. You give yourself that they may learn and grow into adults themselves, prepared to fill the same role you and your mate have filled. You do this first in submission to your God and then in submission to your husband, who is the head of your family. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you how easy this is, for that would make me a liar. It is not easy. For coming in submission to anyone or anything else is not easy for fallen human beings. In the garden, Adam let Eve down. He failed to intercede and stop her from making a terrible mistake. The scripture tells us clearly he was right there with her when Satan deceived her. God, in his judgment against them both, took their sins in the garden and made them a part of their fallen natures. Eve was told in Genesis 3:16, "Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." This means that the unregenerate woman will always be seeking to subvert her husband's authority. She will always desire to have his place, and the unregenerate husband will always react with his strength to try and stop her. This is the case in the marriages of the unregenerate. It must not be the case with Christian marriages. Through Jesus Christ, the man and woman are given grace to obey their God. It's only by grace that you ladies can submit to your husbands. It's only by grace you husbands can lead your wives with love. You must understand, wives do not in and of themselves have the strength to submit as called by God. Just as any of us do not have the strength to submit to anyone, any other person, or to the government or God itself, himself. We all depend on the grace of God to give us the strength to obey his word. I hope you will keep in your mind the reason for the evil, for the call to submission. This call was given to establish order in our chaotic world. Sin destroys order and makes us slaves to passion. It drives us away from one another. Order overrides passion and establishes relationships of strength and perseverance. Paul gives the most convincing example of this, verse 24. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. You understand that? Listen to these words found in the preface to the Book of Church Order of the PCA. These words are very important because they're talking about just this, Christ is head. Jesus Christ, upon whose shoulders the government rests, whose name is called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, of the increase of whose government and peace there shall be no end, who sits upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever, having all power given unto him in heaven and in earth by the Father, who raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He being ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, receive gifts for his church, and gave all offices necessary for the edification of his church and the perfecting of his saints. Now that's one sentence. It's a powerful sentence. It covers who Christ is. He's the head of the church, and it gives the reasons why. This tells us what the scriptures say about Christ as the head of the church. It is the head who provides for all of the needs of the body. Jesus takes on the responsibility of seeing that these needs are met. He came and lived the perfect life you could never live. He died the atoning death necessary for your salvation. He won the resurrection victory over the enemies of God and the forces of evil trying to hold you in slavery. He freed you from the clutches of Satan. He destroyed the power of the grave and darkness. He gave to you life, and he gave life in abundance. What does he ask of those whom he has saved? He asked of us our love. He asked of us our obedience. He calls us to submit ourselves to his love and to allow him to lead us into the abundance of this wonderful life he has won on our behalf. Please remember the words of the Apostle John found in 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. This is the example he gives to you wives. Your husband is to love you, and your love is in response to his. Just as the believer's love is a response to Christ, love is a commitment. It is not a feeling that makes your toes curl up. 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. This is exactly what wives are called to do, to give up their lives for their husbands. Is this not what he calls all believers to do for Christ? Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We are to give up our own wants. We are to give up our own desires to fulfill the call of God on our lives. That's not easy to do, but we need to be working at it. We are to stop seeking our own pleasures through lust and greed and live our lives according to the Word of God. Now, I can tell you a little bit about the struggle this can cause. I was called into the ministry and at a later time in life, called from a very secure place, a good job, a home that was paid for. In one sense of the word, it was difficult, but in another, because of my love for Christ, it was something I could do. I know how hard it was for Sharon to lose all of her security, to give up so many of the things she loved, to enter a place, a phase of life with nothing more than faith and trust for security. Yet, because of our love for Christ, we could not refuse to do it. Sharon was willing to follow me where the Lord called because she had accepted my commitment to her and trusted my commitment to Christ. I can tell you this day, I have the most wonderful wife in the world. And I honor her and give her praises all the time. Is this not what God calls each believer to do? To accept his commitment of love to them through Jesus Christ? Wives, are you a reflection of the believer in this world? A reflection of the one who by faith believes in Jesus Christ and places his eternal well-being in those invisible nail-scarred hands? Yes, it is an act of faith. And it is also an act of faith to trust in your husband. You are called to become his helpmate, to sacrifice your own desires in order to help him be all God called him to be. When you do this, you receive a great reward, a reward of honor and respect, and you also find a satisfaction in having been what God created you to be, a loving and supportive helpmate. My friends, to be what God calls us to be is the greatest blessing we can ever be to others. The wife who submits to her husband as to the Lord, the mother who loves and teaches her children, the husband who honors and respects his wife, the children who obey and honor their parents, the employee who works hard, the employer who is generous and fair, all bring joy to others. Is there anything in this world that should take a higher priority in our lives than being what God called us to be? I don't think there is. Every one of these relationships is based on submission. Of course, you cannot begin to properly submit in any of them until you have submitted yourself to God. Does there seem to be an emptiness in your life that nothing seems to be able to fill? That emptiness is caused by the absence of true spiritual life. How can you fill it? You can come to Jesus Christ, acknowledge your sinful estate and your totally hopeless condition. You can call out to him, bowing your knee and confessing with your tongue that he is there, for you. For everyone who does this with a true heartfelt sorrow, he will hear and he will make you alive. He will come into your heart and fill you with his Holy Spirit. What does he ask of you in return for this wonderful grace? He asks only that you show him your love through your submission to his word. Let us pray. Father, we come thanking you for your church, for the elders and pastors you give us to help us grow and mature. We ask that you give us the grace to remember those you have called and sent to be our shepherds, that we will remember how we are to minister to them as they minister to us. There is not one single person in your church that can stand on their own two feet. Every one of us needs help and encouragement. Please put on every heart here that we must have the support of other believers. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your guidance in this matter. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.